Tomorrow is election day, and in the 6th Congressional District, which where I'm at right now, I'm in the 6th Congressional District. I vote in the 6th Congressional District. In the 6th Congressional District, you've got two names you've heard of a whole lot and one name of a guy who's been out there hustling left and right. All right, we all know Cleo Fields' name. We all know Albert Guillory's name, or at least most of us do. But there's this dude, young dude, been on the campaign trail, been popping up everywhere along the way, putting in the hours, putting in the effort. His name's Quentin Anthony Anderson, and he joins us now. Quentin, good morning. Welcome back to Talk 107.3. How are you, man?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Now, glad to have you on. I know you're looking forward to tomorrow because, I mean, it's, look, we all know who this district was mapped out for, but this is up to the people and not up to the politicians who draw the maps to begin with. Talk to me a little bit about the campaign trail and how you've grown over the last few months.
Yeah, and I think that's a good segue. This is, at the end of the day, this is when voters have the most leverage. And so no matter what machinations happen behind closed doors, you still have to have voters essentially consummate that deal. And they have to make that decision. And over the course of this campaign, I think I've only kind of felt vindicated by running because it does feel like voters want their say and they don't want to feel like it's been preordained. I think that the growth is a very real thing. I think there's a real benefit to getting into the race early because you want to be at your best when people are paying attention and you want to have a refined message by the time people are really tuning in. And I think that having been in since the spring and having traveled across all 10 parishes, it really has allowed me not only to get, I think, better as a candidate, just sort of tactically and objectively, but also I think it's made sure that the message that I carry has incorporated a lot of the experiences and interactions with voters that I've had over the course of a pretty long campaign.
Well, being such a gerrymandered district, to be sure, it's going to bring with it a lot of different values, a lot of different ideals, and a lot of different wants, needs, and desires from its electorate. I mean, that which is important in Baton Rouge isn't necessarily important in Natchitoches or anywhere anywhere in between where you're going to find a lot more of the rural areas as well. What have you learned along the campaign trail? Because, you know, while giving speeches and while talking about what you believe in, you're going to spend a lot of time shaking hands and hearing what a lot of people want from their congressman.
And I think that's it. I think, the congresspeople that you hear about and that you know about that aren't from Louisiana typically are folks that spend a lot of time making points and making a lot of clips and talking about national issues. But I think that Congress is, if it's done right, it's one, supposed to be the most grassroots of all jobs in the federal government because, you know, you just represent the interests of people. It's not your own agenda, but also it's supposed to be the most selfless. You're right. You know, I come from Baton Rouge and I've typically lived in cities. And so a good chunk of this campaign has been me in places like, you know, Avoyelles and Pointe-Coupee kind of shutting up and listening, learning about what their interests are and learning about what their communities want and how they've grown up and what, you know, is important to them. Because if I get elected, regardless of if they voted for me or not, it's my job for the next 2 years to represent their interests.
Right.
And while, yes, I'll represent their interests through the lens, through, you know, sort of my ideological lens of how I best think we can kind of reach solutions and you know, resources for those communities, I still have to be representing those interests. I can't represent just some secret agenda. It has to be the interests of Marksville. It has to be the interests of New Roads. It can't just be, you know, Quentin's, you know, whatever Quentin decided to wake up and pursue that day. So it's been a lot of learning and a lot of listening, and I think that's a lot of the job.
What are a few of the things you've learned? What are the issues that are you know, topping the charts throughout this district?
I'll be completely honest with you. As much as there is diversity across the district, you know, you do hear some commonality on issues like crime. And it's usually coming from a place of understanding that particularly youth crime has to be addressed because we don't want to give up on these young people. So a lot of people are asking about, you know, what sort of educational investments, what sort of economic development investments can you bring across the district to lower youth crime? Because it is popping up even in, you know, places like Natchitoches, Baton Rouge, Alexandria, Opelousas. In the more rural areas, particularly in agricultural country, I've had to sort of learn a whole lot about the Farm Bill, which is, you know, contrary to its name, it's not just one piece of legislation. It's just this big sort of amalgamation of legislation. But a lot of communities in this district in particular are dependent upon the continued reauthorization of that bill and some of the partnerships, for example, that the USDA has with some family farms. And then obviously, you know, infrastructure investments. And that looks a little bit different across the district, but it's kind of universal that we are under investing in our public infrastructure, whether it's, you know, the levees or the Comete River Diversion Canal, or you're talking about, you know, just basic, you know, water and you know, city service infrastructure in places like Shreveport. So I think that, you know, the requests have actually been largely, or the interests have actually been largely similar. They've just sort of been different in terms of how circumstantially those resources, if gotten, would be sort of applied.
Let's talk about these individually here. Let's start with crime and what your plans would be. Should you be elected, how would you look to address crime specifically for the younger folks?
Well, I think, you know, and I've said this a lot, I think that a lot of our approach to public safety has often been narrow-minded. I think public safety is more than just policing. Policing is a component of it. And yeah, I'd be in favor of getting federal resources so that we can pay our police officers what they're worth. Mm-hmm. But also, I think that should come with some, you know, higher standards. We do want to make sure that police officers live in the communities that they serve so that they're not just operating as sort of warriors, but that they're operating also as guardians. I want to make sure that we're investing in education, but also like the sort of education, real life skills, digital skills, skills that are monetized, that people can monetize, because I do think that the sooner that we can start to put money in people's pockets, the sooner that we can address people's economic desperation, the more they feel like they have a stake in the future and they feel like they have something to lose. I've said this a lot. If, you know, a lot of the people who are committing crimes feel like they have nothing to lose, and people who have nothing to lose act like it, but people who have something to lose act like it. So I want to give people a stake in the future. And then I just want to make it easier for folks to be able to start businesses. And that might seem unassociated, but I think that there's a lot of entrepreneurial spirit that is in a lot of these folks who are otherwise, you know, letting, you know, idle hands do the devil's work. I want to make sure that we're putting them to work. We're giving them an opportunity to actually, you know, benefit from their talent and their ingenuity, as opposed to going down these more rogue paths. So I think there's a lot of investments that we can make that get people on the front end, because once you do it on the back end, you're not preventing the next crime. You're just sort of taking out your emotions on the last crime that was committed, but it doesn't address the crime rate.
We're talking with Quentin Anthony Anderson. He is running for Congress in the 6th Congressional District. Okay, Quentin, you mentioned the farm bill, and yeah, this is one where no matter how much you learn, there's always more to learn. And as it stands right now, we don't have a farm bill. The clock has run out, and it's going to take a lame duck session to get this done. How deep of a dive, how much of a baptism by fire have you gotten on what you're going to need to know should you be elected?
Well, I think right now the biggest urgency is just actually reauthorizing it and not just doing these short-term extensions.
Yeah.
There are so many, not only, you know, industries, but also family farms that are depending on the security of knowing that, you know, this thing is going, you know, their partnerships and the deals that they have under this bill are going to exist for the foreseeable future. And right now, you know, we are just sort of operating on these continuing resolutions, and that freezes funding as well. And a freeze in funding when, you know, the cost of goods is going up, the cost of living is going up, is really a reduction in it. And so for many of these farms, for many of these industries, they're having to deal with the reality that they have less money. Even if it's the same money, they have less money because the costs are going up. So I think the biggest thing that I've learned is just the urgency of long-term security. So I've made the commitment that, you know, pretty much in whatever form, within reason, as long as it mirrors what it's sort of looked like for the last year or so of negotiations, I will be in support of. There are things that I'd like to see more of. There's a partnership. I mentioned this before. There's a partnership between the USDA and Family Farms that allows for Family Farms to have a real customer or client in the federal government, whereas they've sort of been boxed out of supermarkets by big corporate farms. And I want to expand that, particularly for family farms here in Louisiana. But I'm also not going to let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Whatever is feasible and available at the first opportunity, I'm going to vote to reauthorize it.
We got just about a minute and a half left with Quentin Anthony Anderson. He's on your ballot in the 6th Congressional District. Okay, you also mentioned infrastructure. I'm going to ask you a very pointed question in this regard. A lot of this district is rural. How do you push forward getting more infrastructure dollars for roads and bridges that don't affect the largest numbers of people?
Well, I think that's the whole point of being a representative in Congress. You know, there are 434 other seats, and their job is to represent the interests of their communities as forcefully and as boldly and unapologetically as they possibly can. My job is to represent the 10 parishes, part or you know, partial or whole, that are in my district. And so part of those, part of that district is rural. And those rural parishes need the infrastructure investment just as much as the urban. In fact, I'd argue in some cases more so. Because the urban areas often do have outsized representation. I mean, I know that that is a big concern of the gerrymandered nature of this district is that, all right, you know, we're probably going to elect somebody from South Louisiana, and you know how that goes. South Louisiana always gets the sort of representation that it deserves, and then the rural areas kind of get whatever's left. It is my goal. It is my, you know, North Star that I'm elected to represent the entire district unapologetically and boldly, and that includes the rural areas. And I do think about investment through an equity lens, and I know that might have made some conservatives' heads explode, so if you don't like the word equity, just, you know, replace it with fairness. I think that in places that have a lot of investment, those places have the luxury to kind of get behind the places that have largely and historically been left behind, have been underinvested. And I do think that in the rural areas where you do have roads that are outdated, you do have bridges that really are falling below standards, we have to make those investments just as urgently as we would in, you know, Baton Rouge or Shreveport.
Well, speaking as a conservative, after 8 minutes worth of things that I agreed with, if you get stuck on the word equity, that's on you. He's Quentin Anthony Anderson on your ballot. Dude, we got to move you over to this party, man. I don't know what it's going to take. We got to move. We're going
to
flip you.
I wish I didn't have to be a member of any party, to be honest. That's what the whole experience has made me feel.
The thoughtfulness that you bring to the table represents that. He's on the ballot tomorrow on the 6th. I appreciate a couple minutes this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me, Brian.